the day's events. He'd been enrolled as an assassin, all right, a student assassin, for more than 7 hours, and they hadn't even let him lay a hand on a knife yet. Of course, tomorrow was another day. Chidder leaned over. "Where's Arthur?" he said. Tepic looked at the bed opposite him. There was a pathetically small sack of clothing positioned neatly in its centre, but no sign of its intended occupant. "Do you think he's run away?" he said, staring round at the shadows.
"Could be," said Chidder.
"It happens a lot, you know. Mummy's boys away from home, first time." The door at the end of the room swung open slowly, and Arthur entered, backwards, tugging a large and very reluctant billy goat. It fought him every step of the way down the aisle between the bedsteads. The boys watched in silence for several minutes as he tethered the animal to the end of his bed, upended the sack on the blankets, and took out several black candles, a sprig of herbs, a rope of skulls, and a piece of chalk. Taking the chalk and adopting the shiny pink-faced expression of someone who is going to do what they know to be right no matter what, Arthur drew a double circle around his bed and then, getting down on his chubby knees, filled the space between them with as unpleasant a collection of occult symbols as Tepic had ever seen. When they were completed to his satisfaction, he placed the candles at strategic points and lit them. They spluttered and gave off a smell that suggested that you really wouldn't want to know what they were made of. He drew a short, red-handled knife from the jumble on the bed and advanced towards the goat. A pillow hit him on the back of the head.
"Gone, pious little bastard!"
Arthur dropped the knife and burst into tears. Chidder sat up in bed.
"That was you, Cheesewright," he said. "I saw you."
Cheesewright, a skinny young man with red hair and a face that was one large freckle, glared at him.
"Well, it's too much," he said. "A fellow can't sleep with all this religion going on. I mean, only little kids say their prayers at bedtime these days. We're supposed to be learning to be assassins."
"You can jolly well shut up, Cheesewright," shouted Chidder. "It'd be a better world if more people said their prayers, you know. I know I don't say mine as often as I should."
A pillow cut him off in mid-sentence. He bounded out of bed and vaulted at the red-haired boy, fists flailing. As the rest of the dormitory gathered around the scuffling pair, Tepic slid out of bed and padded over to Arthur, who was sitting on the edge of his bed and sobbing. He patted him uncertainly on the shoulder, on the basis that this sort of thing was supposed to reassure people.
"I shouldn't cry about it, youngster," he said gruffly.
"All the wounds have been scuffed," said Arthur. "It's all too late now. And that means the great Orm will come in the night and wind out my entrails on a stick."
"Does it?"
"And suck out my eyes, my mother said."
"Gosh," said Tepic, fascinated. "Really?" He was quite glad his bed was opposite Arthur's and would offer an unrivaled view.
"What religion would this be?"
"We're strict authorized Ormits," said Arthur.
He blew his nose.
I noticed you don't pray," he said. "Don't you have a god?"
"Oh, yes," said Tepic hesitantly. "No doubt about that."
"You don't seem to want to talk to him."
Tepic shook his head.
"I can't," he said. "Not here. He wouldn't be able to hear, you see."
"My god can hear me anywhere," said Arthur fervently.
"Well, mine has difficulty if you're on the other side of the room," said Tepic. "It can be very embarrassing."
"You're not an Offlian, are you?"
said Arthur. Offler was a crocodile god and lacked ears.
"No."
"What god do you worship, then?"
"Not exactly worship," said Tepic, discomforted. "I wouldn't say worship. I mean, he's all right. He's my father, if you must know."
Arthur's pink-rimmed eyes widened.
"You're the son of a god?" he whispered.
"It's all part of being a king, where I come from," said Tepic hurriedly. "He doesn't have to do very much. That is, the priests do the actual running of the country. He just makes sure that the river floods every year, you see, and services the great cow of the Arch of the Sky. Well, used to."
"The great—"
"My mother," explained Tepic. "It's all very embarrassing."
"Does he smite people?"
"I don't think so. He's never said."
Arthur reached down to the end of the bed. The goat, in the confusion, had chewed through its rope and trotted out of the door, vowing to give up religion in future.
"I'm going to get into awful trouble," he said. "I suppose you couldn't ask your father to explain things to the great Orm?"
"He might be able to," said Tepic doubtfully. "I was going to write home tomorrow anyway."